Because he did not have inner warmth. His body was not warm. The only thing clothes do is they conceal the body. They do not allow outside heat, outside cold to enter. They trap the heat of the body inside under the blanket, and that's what naturally warms a person up. His own body heat. But David HaMelech did not have any inner heat himself in his body, therefore clothes did not warm him up anymore. So his men tell him, listen, why should you suffer like this? Your mom is shivering all day. The only way for you to be warmed up is through someone else's body heat. So let's get a woman, a young woman, a young beautiful woman. Why does she have to be beautiful? First of all, because anything a king uses is supposed to be beautiful. It's the honor of the king. Secondly, another pshat that's brought down is that the more beautiful a woman is, shows about her bloodstream. The more blood she has in her bloodstream, the more blood is running in her bloodstream. And therefore, the more blood obviously leads to more heat. And therefore, her beauty is actually a sign to her inner body heat, which is what we're looking for.
Is it beautiful? In Hebrew language, beautiful word?
Is it a beautiful word? What do you mean?
There is a word beautiful?
Yeah.
Because in Russian translation, there is no beautiful.
Oh, I'm sorry. This pasuk, yeah, you're right. It's in the next pasuk that they say that they refer to a beautiful woman. Not in this one. So, they say, let's look for a young woman who will lie with him together in his bed. But however, they did not announce it. So you'll see the beginning of the pasuk. It says, "V'amda lifnei melech," she will stand in front of the king. But the pasuk ends off by saying, "V'shachva b'chekecha," again using the singular language, not plural, "V'shachva b'chekecha," referring to the king himself. So the beginning of the pasuk is referring to the announcement that they would make. Obviously, they're not going to announce. They're looking for a woman to lie with the king. But the end of the pasuk by referring to David HaMelech himself and telling him, she's going to lie together with you and warm you up. So in fact, that's exactly what they did. They looked for a beautiful woman. What does it say in the Russian?
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful? Okay, good. B'chog v'l'Yisrael ve'yimitzu with Avishag HaShunamis. They found this one woman called Avishag HaShunamis. Ve'yaviu oisa el HaMelech. Now, another pshat for Sechenes is not necessarily someone who's going to lie together with you in your bed. Rather, it's referring to someone who's going to be in charge of your treasures. She's going to be your treasurer. And we're going to see later on why that's significant. Because it was not going to be tznius for anyone to come see David HaMelech while this woman is lying together with him in bed. It's a very private matter. And since she had to be with him pretty much all the time, because otherwise David HaMelech would be freezing cold, they could not have anyone practically walk into his room. None of his men, none of his servants, none of his accountants, anybody. So she had to be in charge of all of his money, all of his matters. And therefore, she's not going to be only lie with him, but she's going to be the one who's going to be in charge of all of his assets. V'hanar yofat ma'oid, she was a very, very beautiful woman. V'tihi l'melech sechenes b'tishraseihu v'hamelech lo yada'o. The king was not intimate with this woman. Now, we referred earlier to the idea that the reason why David HaMelech was not intimate with Avishag was because he is now repenting for the chet of Bathsheba. Since Bathsheba he was not allowed to be with, and he was intimate with her anyway, he was now doing tshuva by putting himself in that same situation where he can easily, if he wanted to, be intimate with this woman, but he's holding himself back, and that is part of the process of his tshuva. So let's see what happens now. Adonia who was the fourth son of David HaMelech. The oldest son was Amnon, who was killed by Avshalom. After Amnon comes Daniel. We don't really see any mention of Daniel anywhere in the Pesukim. Could be he died already at this point, because Adonijah claims that he's next in line. Because we had Amnon, Daniel, Avshalom died, and now Adonijah is the fourth one in line. He's next in line. He's claiming, I want to be king. He starts behaving like a king. He has this carriage, 50 men running in front of him. Now, it's interesting to note the differences between the rebellion of Adonijah and the rebellion of Avshalom. The rebellion of Avshalom begins with Avshalom connecting with the people. We see him standing by the gate, talking to people, listening to their troubles, listening to their court cases, telling them their right. He's trying to engage with the people. Adonijah, we're going to see later on, does not engage with the people. We're going to see who exactly he plots with to take over the kingship. Never did David HaMelech tell him, you did something wrong. And he took that as a sign that he's such a successful individual. He never made any mistakes. He never did anything wrong. Therefore, he is rightfully claiming to be king. And not only that, but he's a very good-looking man. And that, in and of itself, is a good enough reason for someone to become king. He's good-looking, like Avshalom. He never does anything wrong. He never makes any mistakes. Naturally, he should be king. Who are the people that he plots with? The only people he plots with are Yoav ben Tzruya and Eviasar HaKoyen. We don't have any mention of him sending out message to the people, right? Avshalom made a sign that when the second I blow a shofar, that will be the sign that everyone should come out and anoint me as king. We don't find that at all with Adonijah. The only people that he plots with are Yoav ben Tzruya and Eviasar HaKoyen. So first of all, why are Yoav ben Tzruya and Eviasar HaKoyen joining Adonijah? They should be loyal to David HaMelech. Yoav, we found, David HaMelech was very upset with Yoav. Why? Because Yoav was the one who killed Avshalom. And David HaMelech gave him clear instructions not to. And David HaMelech actually, in fact, tried to remove him from his position, but he was unsuccessful. So Yoav now knew that David HaMelech is not so happy with him. So the second he sees an opportunity to join someone else, he jumps on it, and he, in fact, joins the wagon of Adonijah. Eviasar HaKoyen, the same story. He now sees that Tzadok HaKoyen is now being given more honor, and therefore he feels kind of left out. So he joins Adonijah in order to join what he thinks is going to be the winning horse. So now, let's go back to the point we were discussing before. Why is it that Daniel is not engaging in the people? You need, in order for a successful rebellion to take place, you need to have backing of the masses. If you don't have the backing of the masses, there's no point. You won't be able to achieve anything. However, since this was a very unique situation where David HaMelech was sick, there was no one, literally no one, that was walking into his room. Again, as we mentioned before, because it was a matter of tznius, it was not fit for anyone to see the king lying with a woman. So no one was with him. No one would tell him what was going on. And he felt that if he assumed the kingship, then naturally everyone would assume that obviously if David HaMelech is not saying anything, then obviously that David HaMelech agrees. Now, why would David HaMelech not say anything? Because he doesn't know. That's the only reason he's not going to say anything. He has no clue to what's going on. So the plan was to hide it from David HaMelech. That was very easy to do because no one was going to see him. And people will naturally think that Obviously, it's done with the permission of David HaMelech, since he's also the next one in line, and he will naturally take over the kingship.
But the Jewish law, something wrong to make this son to be king?
Okay, there's nothing wrong.
But what is rebellion? He is first in line, he wants to be king. Why is this so? What he did wrong?
It's the rebellion is that he's assuming the kingship without being anointed. No one appointed him to be king.
No, but the one is still, I believe she is preparing.
No, we're going to see, he's actually going to try to become king. Like, I'm the king, David HaMelech is not king anymore.
Before David,
he dies, yeah.
Before dies?
Yeah, David HaMelech is still alive, he's not dead yet.
No, I believe he prepared to be king after his death.
No, he's planning to actually become king while David HaMelech is still alive. It's not completely unheard of. Many kings, towards their old age, they don't have the wherewithal to deal with the kingship. So they pass it on to their son. It happens. But they has to be done by the king himself. He can't just take it over.
I believe he is waiting his death.
Right. No, we're talking before David HaMelech dies. Before he dies. Not only that, Nasan, we're going to see later on, Nasan HaNavi has a prophecy to David HaMelech that Shlomo HaMelech will be king. And Adonia knew about this. We're going to see exactly how he knew about that, how we know that he knew about this. So he knew he was doing something wrong over here. It wasn't just an honest mistake, so to speak. Now, what was the reason Adonia wanted to become king?
He has a cool name.
He has a cool name, yeah, okay. That's one good reason. Another reason that's brought down in the Mefarshim is the only reason he really wanted to become king was not because he cared about being king, power, riches, control. It wasn't about that at all.
Shem Shemayim.
Nope, not that either. It was about one thing and one thing only. Or should I say one girl. It was about Avishag HaShunamis. He wanted to marry Avishag HaShunamis. Now he knew David HaMelech would not have any problem with it because David HaMelech was not intimate with her. So it wouldn't be any issue. It was unlike Avshalom. It was very different. Very, very interesting to compare the differences between Avshalom's rebellion and the rebellion of Adonia. Avshalom, he used the Pilagshim, the concubines of David, as he was intimate with them. He violated them because he wanted to make a statement. I am now king and therefore I can be with these concubines. And he just used them in order to get to the means. His means was he wanted to become king. Adonia was exactly the opposite. He wanted to become king in order to marry Avishag. Because he had a desire to marry her. And the only way he saw he would be able to marry her was if he became king. So that's what he had to do, naturally. So, now, let's see what happens how exactly Adonia tries to assume power. V'tzalek ha-koin v'nayob ben Yehoyada, v'nasan ha-navi, v'shimi v'reya v'agibari, m'shal David, lo hayu im Adonio. You have a long laundry list of people who are loyal to David HaMelech still. Tzadik HaKoyen, Benayahu Ben Yehoyada, who was his general, Nasan HaNavi, Shimi Berei V'Agibari, Mishal HaDavid, all of his, the Navy SEALs, his personal bodyguards, are still loyal to David. V'Yizbach Adonio, Tzon Yevakor Meri, Im Evan HaZicheles, Asher Etzel Ein Regel. What does he do? In order to establish his monarchy, he throws a party with carbonis, barbecue, he calls everyone. Everyone's invited, come to my party, have some lamb chops, enjoy yourself. All the people that are loyal to David HaMelech, he does not call, and he does not call one very specific person. Shlomo, the son of David HaMelech, is the only son who's not asked to join the party. Why not? Because he knew, he was aware of the prophecy that Nathan the Navi gave to David, that Shlomo was to be king next. He does not want Shlomo to ruin his plans. So he does not ask him to join the party. Nathan comes over to Bathsheba. He tells her, listen, Adonio is trying to take over. You have to take action. David is not aware of this. Right? So he's basically giving her every excuse in the book to go ahead and speak to David. Right? Don't say, okay, you know what? Maybe there's still time. You know, until he actually takes over. He says, no. Ki malach Adonai Yoh ben Chagis, you already took over. He's already king in many people's eyes. You might say, listen, you know, maybe it's too late. There's nothing I can do. So he says, no. David is not aware. He does not know what's going on. If you only tell him, then he will go ahead and be mamlech Shlomo. And third of all, what's the third excuse you might have? You might say, listen, you know, okay, Seder, so Adonio will become king. Maybe I shouldn't pursue the honor. Who said really you should, you know, Shlomo should become king? Maybe he shouldn't, you know. Well, why should I really bother? So he tells her, no, you don't understand. If you sit back and do nothing, what's going to happen is Adonio is going to go ahead and kill Shlomo and you, because you are a direct threat to his kingship. So the only way for you to save your life, literally, is to tell David. You have to go ahead and tell him, remind him that you promised me. You promised me that I will be king, that my son Shlomo will be king next. Please keep your promise. Now,
where is this promise?
Very good question. Right after David was intimate with Bathsheba for the first time, she got pregnant. The baby that was born from that pregnancy died very shortly after he was born. And Bathsheba did not want to be with David HaMelech anymore. She said, if I'm going to get pregnant again, then people are going to say, oh, yeah, you know, you know, the son is he's a bastard, right? Because his mother is really still married to Uriah Hiti, right? David HaMelech was never allowed to marry her. So I'm going to be, first of all, I'm going to be laughstock in the eyes of everybody. And everyone's going to laugh at my son as well. So at that point, David HaMelech made a shvua. He swore to Bathsheba and told her, not only is your son not going to be laughed at, but I'm going to make him to be the king after me. And that way everyone's going to know that there's nothing wrong with me marrying you. And that's when she agreed to be with David HaMelech again.
He promised
before he was even born. Before he was even born. Yeah, he was promised. He promised Bathsheba. While you're talking to David, I'm going to come into the room, and I'm going to complete the story. Now, there's a very interesting medrash over here. It says when Bathsheba walks into the room, Avishag Shunamis, the king was very old, and Avishag Shunamis is servicing the king. The Medrash actually brings down a very interesting conversation that took place between David and Bathsheba. David and Avishag. Avishag tells David, why don't you marry me? Right? Well, marry me and then we can be intimate. David HaMelech says, listen, I would love to. However, Hashem told me, at 18 wives, no more. I cannot have more than 18 wives. So what does she say? Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, you're just using that as an excuse. You're too old, really. You're too old, right? You can't. You don't have the strength anymore to be intimate with anybody, with any woman. And you're just using the 18 wives as an excuse why you can't marry me. So David HaMelech says, "Oh, really? You think so?" So that, and that's when it says in the pasuk. That's what the Gemara brings down this very pasuk. Pasuk Tesvav, "Batove bat sheva el HaMelech haChadra veHaMelech zokin oid." There are 13 words in this pasuk. So the Gemara says that when Bathsheba came into the room of David HaMelech, he was intimate with her 13 times, just to show Avishag that she is dead wrong. He still has strength, even though he's very old. David HaMelech immediately notices, realizes that there's something urgent because she's bowing down, which is not the usual practice for someone who's coming in to be intimate with the king. And he tells her what's going on. You promised me my son will be king next after me, after you. Adoni now took over the kingship, and you do not know, right? He cannot say that he didn't know that you were that you promised Shlomo. You might say, "Oh, listen, it was an honest mistake. I had no idea that you promised Shlomo that Shlomo was going to be king," right? If that was the case, why did he not tell you? Obviously, he's hiding it from you. He knows he's doing something wrong. He's calling everybody, all the people that used to be loyal to you. However, he does not call Shlomai. Something is going on over here. Don't think that it's too late. He's already king and there's nothing to do about it. Everyone's looking up to you. They want you to make a statement and say who is going to be king. So it's never too late. It's now your point. It's not your turn to go ahead and give an address to the nation. If you do not make a statement, then after you die, we will be executed. Because everyone's going to assume that I was with you in sin, in Avera, and therefore Shlomo is also a bastard, and therefore they're going to kill both of us. It's going to be a desecration for your honor, David HaMelech, and we are going to be killed. As she's talking, Nasan is now coming in. He walks in, he bows down. Right? What is he telling him? He says, obviously, if this happened, obviously it happened, and your order is David HaMelech. Right? He's calling everyone, all of his loyal people. He's not called me, or if that's true, that in fact you were the one who gave this order that Adonia should be king, why didn't you tell me? I was the one who gave you the prophecy that Shlomo should be king next. So why don't you tell me that maybe you got a different prophecy? I don't know. Maybe you changed your mind? Yeah, you got to tell me what's going on over here. Now, just to finish off with this point, we're not going to finish the whole parak today. It's very long. We're just going to finish with this point. We see over here how they're addressing this issue from all sides. Both Bathsheba and Nasan are coming with two different approaches. Bathsheba is referring, trying to get the king, you know, jealous. What's going on over here? Oh, he's just taking over my kingship without telling me, right? I promised Shlomo, and he just does something without my permission, right? Or maybe because he's afraid for Bathsheba, she's going to be killed, or Shlomo is going to be killed. And then Nasan comes from a completely different angle. he says, oh, why didn't you tell me, right? You should have told me, meaning trying to shame him into admitting that he never admitted that Adoniram shouldn't be king. The point is that in order to get someone to take action, you have to come with him from all directions, because you never know what kind of emotion is going to force him to take action. That's why the strategy of Nasan was to have a Sheva come first, awaken one emotion, jealousy, protection, and then Nasan Navi will come later and shame him to admitting that Shlomo should be king. We're going to stop here, and we'll continue next week. We'll see exactly what happens.